You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
This feature is brought to you by 91, investing for a world of change.
It's election year in South Africa, but it's also election year in many other countries around the world. In fact, the stats at some point suggested that over 50% of the world's GDP by purchasing power parity was voting in 2024. And to that creates a lot of market volatility, a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of questions around how to navigate your investments. To help you understand this and unpack this, I'm joined on the line by sales manager at 91, Paul Hutchinson, to take a look at this and what it means for us as investors. Good evening, Paul. Thanks so much for taking the time. The biggest election year in history. What does that mean for markets?
Hi, Jimmy, and good evening to your listeners. Yes, what a coup for the democratic process, if coup is in fact the right word to use in this context, with more than 60 countries representing more than half the world's voting population going to the polls. And it includes India, the largest or most populous country in the world, the UK, the US, and our own home market. And I think what it does do, though, unfortunately, is it you see increased political rhetoric and you see increased volatility in markets in the short term. But what we do and what we've tried to demonstrate is that one needs to look through the short-term volatility and recognize and acknowledge that over the longer term, markets continue to go up over time. And if we start with what's happened in the US market, for example, if you look at a chart of the US equity market going back to the 1920s, and you consider whether a Democrat or a Republican was voted president, it seems to be immaterial. Over time, equity markets have outperformed. Yes, there have been periods of shorter term market volatility, but whether it's a Republican or a Democrat hasn't really mattered over the long term. So certainly in the short term, expect a lot of noise, expect increased market volatility, but we would argue for investors to remain invested and look through what's happening in the short term. That's true in the US, and we would argue that it's also true in South Africa. And we can discuss some of the work that we've done in the South African market.
Let's look at the South African market, Paul, because it's different in South Africa from other countries. We've had to deal with the turn of democracy in 1994, but I understand that you've done a lot of research in the South African space to even pre-democracy and then also obviously the 30 years of democracy that we have experienced. How does the South African picture look when we look at the volatility and we look at what happens in equity markets and we factor in things like load shedding and the other factors in South Africa?
Yeah, the many things that create noise in our market. So it's particularly interesting because there have been 14 elections since 1966 in South Africa. The election this year will be the seventh post-democratic election. And in each of those calendar years in which there was an election, only twice has the all share index delivered a negative return. And both of those were pre-1994. So in 1970, the market was down north of 26%. And in 1987, which was the year where we had the market correction called Black Monday, the market was down 5%. But in every other calendar year where there was an election, our markets tended to go up, or our markets did in fact go up in those calendar years. So again, I think it points to a lot of noise, a lot of political rhetoric, which gives us a lot of heart-stopping moments. But the reality is that markets look through that and historically have gone up in time.
Paul, let's look at the South African picture for a second in greater detail, right? So historically, yes, we have seen a bullish outcome regardless of the outcome of the elections. But this year presents a very unique opportunity. As we said, it's the first time we have this many countries going into an election year, but also it represents the first real challenge to the ruling party's outright majority that we've seen in recent times. So that brings about a new set of variables that we may not have seen in the data that was presented in the past. If we're to look at the South African picture and we play a bit of devil's advocate with it, what could potentially cause a bear market in South Africa or cause the South African markets to not go up? I mean, obviously factors like load shedding, like the logistics have been at play for quite some time. But if we're having a look at the South African picture, how do we see an outcome where it doesn't go up?
Yeah, so I think there's a number of things to consider. I think the first point to make is that historically, bear markets in South Africa have not been as a result of South African-induced factors. So if you go back in history and you look at bear markets, which we define where the market drops by more than 20%, there's been, I'm going to guess now, but maybe 10 since 1970. And every one of those bear markets was as a result of global factors. So if you cast your mind back to the 70s, we had the global oil shocks. We had Black Monday, which I referenced earlier in 87. We had the global financial crisis in 2007, 2008, and we had the COVID pandemic. So the bear markets that resulted in the South African equity market were not induced by South African factors. We often, as South Africans, think that we cause our own troubles, but in equity bear markets, it's tended to be global factors. And then if you go specifically to your question now, yes, there are a lot of factors that feel unique right now, but a lot of those factors are priced in. Something that's known is priced by the market. So you can see that reflected in the rand being relatively weak. You can see that reflected in equity markets not running to the same extent as global equity markets, for example. So we think a lot of the negativity, a lot of the concerns, a lot of the risk is already priced into asset prices.
Okay, Paul, let's move away from the politics of it all and let's take a look at the fundamentals. We're saying that the fundamentals are priced in, which means the market has already anticipated the bulk of that movement and how it'll affect the market. But where there is risk, there is also opportunity. How do we assess the opportunity and how do we then identify the opportunity if we are to assume that volatility and the noise will only be temporary?
Yeah, so that's a great point. And the point really being that volatility, we would argue, creates buying opportunities for active managers. So we think active managers that can look at the market and identify mispriced assets can benefit the portfolios that they manage on behalf of their underlying investors. And we think this elevated noise has created increased buying opportunities potentially for active managers.
Okay, with these increased opportunities, obviously active managers, as you said, have a unique advantage there. But how do these active managers, such as 91 and other managers in the space, navigate the South African picture if we are looking at growth? I know we spoke about a couple of other factors that have been in the way or that have been localized to South Africa, but those factors have been a hindrance to actual sustainable growth in South Africa. How do we navigate the growth side of it, and how does that growth side of it affect companies in terms of earnings and then obviously in turn the asset managers and how they choose those investments?
Correct. So that's a key point. Muted growth will impact companies' earnings. So what you're looking for is companies that are resilient through market cycles. They tend to be dominant in their industries. They tend to have pricing power, which provides them with a degree of earnings resilience. The key challenge is that you don't want to overpay for these companies that have resilient earnings. So yes, it's one thing to identify a company that has a competitive advantage that is enduring. But if you can do it, someone else can do it. And therefore, you need to be very careful that you're not overpaying for that particular asset.
Be careful that you're not overpaying for assets, but remember that the elections do present a unique set of opportunities that can be taken advantage of. We'll leave it at that, Paul. Thanks so much. That's Paul Hutchinson, who is sales manager at 91, joining me to reflect on how to navigate the opportunities that are presented in this election year. This feature was brought to you by 91, investing for a world of change.
We can stay here, stick with what worked before, keep our eye on that one spot, steadfast. Or we can recognize that the only constant is change. At 91, we believe that with change comes opportunity. That's why we have 250 investment professionals in the world's investment hubs actively seeking opportunities for you, wherever in the world they may be. Isn't it time to change how you see investing? Invest offshore with 91. 91. Investing for a world of change. 91 is an authorized FSP.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.